Would you turn with me to Psalm 100 as we think about Thanksgiving, not just this Thursday, but as a category in our lives and the current season? You know, a lot of the Psalms are exactly that. They're Psalms of Thanksgiving. And here's just one of many. The subtitle is A Psalm for Giving Grateful Praise. That's good. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who has made us. We are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. So enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. Why? For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Let's pray. Father in heaven, again, we are grateful to be in your house this morning with one another, your people, and we just invite your Holy Spirit to come and to speak to our hearts in the ways that we so desperately need. And we pray that you would grant us this season an attitude of gratitude, that we would be grateful and thankful for all your benefits, all your goodness in our lives. And Lord, as we always pray, we pray that you would give us spiritual eyes that see and spiritual ears that hear everything you want to say to us this morning through the power of your Holy Spirit. And we give you thanks in Jesus' name, saying, amen. So again, the season of Thanksgiving is upon us once again. Next Thursday, it's going to be a time to gorge on the traditional holiday fare: turkey, mashed taters, stuffing, corn, green beans, squash, cranberries, and pumpkin pie. And unlike the video, actually, most of those things were present at that first Thanksgiving. Actually, I'm not so sure about lobsters, because the early colonial people, the founding fathers, thought that lobsters were pig food. They would actually feed lobsters to their pigs. And I'm like, maybe I can hang out with the pigs, you know? There's a story in the Bible about that one too. But anyway, so, you know, after we're done gorging, right? Maybe some of you will watch my Detroit Lions play. Maybe they'll actually win this year. They're doing good this year, man. Don't tell me God's not a God of miracles. Detroit's coming back, man. Yeah. Now, maybe we've forgotten, though, that Thanksgiving is really uniquely an American and Christian holiday. They don't, some other countries celebrate this sort of as a response to the U.S., but it was born right here, right? It's good to recall this week that after 3 months at sea, 101 Christian pilgrims landed in what is today Plymouth, Massachusetts. They endured a terrible New England winter, so that by the spring of 1621, it wiped out half of their numbers, right? And so with the help of local tribal Indians, the pilgrim Christians learned to plant and to harvest all of those foods that we now enjoy each and every Thanksgiving, in addition to hunting deer, catching many kinds of fish, and yes, shooting wild turkeys. So after that first terrible season, the next fall, in fall of 1621, there was such a bumper crop that the pilgrims decided to have a three-day feast, giving heartfelt thanks to the Lord for blessing them so abundantly. What you may not realize is that that first Thanksgiving was actually an evangelistic opportunity. And that was purposeful on the pilgrims' part, right? They invited 90 Wampanoag Indians, along with their chief, Massasoit, and they invited them to come and take part. And instead of the Indians bringing dessert, they brought 5 deer instead, better yet. So there's plenty of food. Thanksgiving continued after that to be celebrated intermittently, as the video said, depending on the time and the place, until the Civil War. In the middle of it, 1863, President Lincoln proclaimed a national day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens. A president said that. I mean, now we're so gun-shy about saying anything about Jesus, but here's what President Lincoln said, calling on his fellow Americans to, and I quote, with humble penitence for our national perverseness and disobedience, fervently imploring the interposition of the Almighty hand to heal the wounds of our nation. That's what I'm talking about, right? Confession of sins, praise, giving thanks to the Lord are at the very heart of the Thanksgiving holiday tradition in the U.S. In short, you could easily say that our annual Thanksgiving celebration is all about God's people having an attitude of gratitude. How you doing with that these days? Is your life an attitude of gratitude? Now, I'm a word nerd. You know that by now. Gratitude, Latin word gratus. In addition to meaning thankful, it also means pleasing and agreeable. Right? Aren't grateful people easy to be around? Thankful people have no problem expressing their appreciation for the kindness of others, and especially for the kindness and graciousness of God. That's what Thanksgiving Day is all about, right? The grace that you and I have experienced through accepting God's free gift of his son, Jesus Christ, comes from a related Latin word, gratia, which where we get our word gratitude from. And yet, in light of all of God's goodness to each and every one of us, how is it that so many of us, instead of having this attitude of gratitude, instead, many people's attitudes are sadly a matter of ingratitude? Ungratefulness is a plague, especially in America where we've got it so good. You know, we have got it better than almost any other country in the world. I've visited a lot of them, right? Even the Western nations that are rich, I mean, they don't have the stuff we got. It's amazing, and yet, what are we complaining about? And why are we experts at that? The Bible is filled to the brim with examples of people who were thankful to God and all his blessings, both tangible as well as the intangible, right? Just scanning the Bible, there are over 200 occurrences where God's people in the Bible offer him heartfelt thanks and gratitude. And most of those in the Old Testament, at least, are in the Psalms, right? The Psalms call God's faithful to give thanks to him, and they've been doing that for centuries and centuries. What I've also discovered, when you get to the New Testament, well, where are most of the occurrences of thankfulness for God, for something? It comes from Paul's letters. And I found this really interesting. Paul was always thanking God for something, whether his personal needs or those who had turned to faith in Jesus Christ under his matchless ministry. And I just started counting things out. So in Paul's 13 letters, short letters, he gives thanks to God some 45 times. Right? That is 25% of the verses about thanks and gratitude in the Bible. One quarter of them come from the lips of the Apostle Paul. And what struck me is this, is that how was he able to persevere in a very difficult ministry? I mean, by his own, account, he was shipwrecked 3 times, he's beaten with rods and whips and all kinds of stuff, stoned, and I don't mean legal marijuana, I mean getting hit in your head with rocks. That's biblical stoning. Paul is always grateful for something, and it's his gratitude to God gives him perseverance, is my point. How you doing in the gratitude area of your life? Paul is a model of what it means to have an attitude of gratitude. But I know it's easy to slip into this matter of ingratitude, right? And I notice it during the holidays, and especially as we get closer to Christmas. You're in the stores and you got all these kids, these ungrateful little kids. And do they drive you as nuts as they do me? It drives me crazy, right, during the holidays, right? This is a parental issue, and manners do matter, right? How about this? Please, thank you, yes, sir, no, ma'am. Am I dating myself? Yes. Yes. Okay, fine. Do you want your children or grandchildren to grow up to be happy human beings, joyful human beings? They must be taught an attitude of gratitude. Yes. You've seen it, kind of like the time When a spoiled, rotten little brat was at Walmart, oh, you know you've seen this kid in a thousand faces, started throwing a hissy fit. He was screaming at his father. And, you know, some kids, I mean, they can't believe what they're saying. If you don't buy me this toy, I'm going to kill myself. I've actually heard that. I'm like, please do. Darwin Awards. But much to his surprise, the father said, well, it's a good thing I took out a life insurance policy on you. And enraged, the rotten little brat screamed at the top of his lungs, I hate you. But his father responded, I love you too. Shocked, the spoiled little monster screamed again, didn't you hear me? I said I hate you. But his father calmly replied and said, I know, but all of these nice people who are watching you are called witnesses. And I want them to tell the insurance investigator that I was a loving father who could have never committed murder. And then I'll make a lot of money. I mean, you probably have stories about your kids too. It just reminds me when I was in Chicago, my oldest Zach was cutting up a rug and I just had enough. And I think I smacked him on the behind and he said, I'm calling the Chicago cops. And I said, here's the phone. And it was like one of those Wild West, who's gonna blink first? I'm like, ooh, he might actually call the Chicago cops. Popo coming to the church. And I said, I just want you to know, if they come, they're gonna take you away and you'll never see mommy and daddy again. And he was like, he blinked. I was like, ah, praise God. You know, and he put the phone down. He said, I might call later. I said, you do that. You do that. You know, you've experienced it too. I mean, I'm just trying to be honest here. Spoiled little kids. You know, remember the old-fashioned word called spoiling? Oh, if that's not in effect today, I don't know. You spoil your kid and they will not be thankful or grateful, will they? Right? It will make them rotten. Spoiled, rotten. Do you know what the Bible says if you do that? If you spoil rotten a child, you do not love them. You actually hate them. The Word of God says that. Yeah. Oh, really? I don't like this sermon. Can we get to the turkey? Well, no, we'll have pizza later. You're welcome to stay for the baby shower. But don't spoil kids or people. Or have you got spoiled pets? There's a lot of entitled pets out there, I've noticed. I've got one of them. This week I was reminded the Old Testament book of Psalms have frequently called people to rejoice and give thanks to God for many, many different things. Right, with your Bibles open, Psalm 100. It's so simple and it's so perfect, I think, for the topic at hand. Verses 1 and 2. Shout to the Lord, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with what? Gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. That's what our worship team tries to do every Sunday, right? We've got a really good worship team. And we got to let Anne Marie have a little R&R. She was past due for a vacation. So glad that we could do that. Thank you for Bruce and Janie and the others for leading today. We're blessed by that. During my devotions and preparation for Thanksgiving Day, Deb and I get to host Thanksgiving dinner this week at the Linda Massa Youth Home. So there are kids there that have never had a Thanksgiving meal. They don't even know what this thing's about, right? And it's like, oh, this is an opportunity to bless, right? What are you going to do with your day? How can we come to a deeper sense, a realization of gratefulness for everything we have? Here's a spiritual exercise. I've shared this. I do this every year at this time because I think it's helpful for me and I think it could be helpful for you. Great spiritual exercise. Sit down, pen and paper, and write out just longhand 10 things that you're grateful for. How about that this week? Just do it. 10 things. They can be simple. They can be profound. It can be whatever, right? As a way of cultivating an attitude of gratitude. Basic Christian devotional exercise. You can do it on your own. You know, my wife makes the kids at the youth home do this pretty regularly. They actually have a gratitude journal. They've had such terrible, awful lives, unspeakable things, and yet they're outlining what they're grateful for. And I bet come Thursday, before we carve that bird, Deb will make them sit down and say, and what are you grateful for today? And we don't move on until they say something. Well, I'm grateful this day is going to be over. Okay, fine. We'll work on that. You know, anyway, here's my list modified this year. 10 things of why I am grateful. And if you've known me for a while, you know I've messed up on this one. So here goes number one. And my wife is ill, but she may be watching right now. Hi, baby. We're fine. I'm thankful for a beautiful Christian wife who supports me in the ministry. This is no small task. A few years ago, I put her number 10. That was a mistake. I was like, well, I saved the best for last. She was not buying it. So my wife is number one. Number two, I'm thankful for two fine sons. Zach is doing well down in Puerto Rico. He owns a couple Airbnbs. Like when I call in the fall or whatever, like, it's a beautiful day in the Bitterroot. It's blue sky and 45. I'm sorry, Dad. It's 80 degrees and the palm trees are swinging. And I'm like, I got nothing. What do I got? Puerto Rico and palm trees? And Josh, my youngest son, works in distribution in Denver. He just got engaged, and I'm grateful for those guys. But I'm also grateful that they've left the house because now Daddy gets to eat really nice food. I ate garbage for decades just to kind of feed these guys because boys eat a lot. And then when they bring their friends over, then they eat a lot. And then Josh's senior year, he befriended all the Pinesdale boys, the Jack Mormons who got in trouble with Dad, and they would show up in the middle of the night and sleep on my living room floor. And I'd wake up in the morning, you know, like, who are you? You know? Oh, I'm so-and-so, I'm Josh's friend. And it's like, okay. And they ate all my food. Right. I remember one morning I got up to get my coffee and it's like, I saw this kid, I didn't know him. He was rifling through my fridge. I'm like, who are you? What are you doing in my fridge? He said, good morning, Dad. I said, I am definitely not your dad, dude. I know this, but go ahead, rob my fridge, whatever. I'm a Christian. I can eat nice food now. I'm grateful for a Christian mother and grandmother who led me to faith in Christ. I'm grateful for my mom who made me go to Sunday school. Made me go to do that. It's like, oh, my parents made me go to church and all that stuff. Well, you make them go to school, don't you? How's that any different? I'm really not angry this morning. I'm thankful, right? Thanks, Mom. I'm thankful to own my first home and hobby farm. Man, I was blessed. I bought here about 10 and a half years ago. I'd never had a loan in my life. I used to wake up the first 3 months at 3 a.m. in a panic attack, sweating. Like, how much money did I borrow? Oh my gosh. And now the place is worth double or triple. I didn't do nothing. I just parked there for a while and paid the bank monthly. I got 10 amazing acres. I'm so grateful. I'm grateful for the privilege of living here in beautiful Big Sky. This is awesome. The mountains never get old. I used to look at city brick walls and all kind of stuff, and I'm grateful I'm here. I'm thankful for my ever-increasing size of my gun collection. I am now Montana respectable. You're not a Montana. Well, look at my guns, I am. The driver's license, but I don't care what you think. I'm thankful for my, I should have put a picture up here of her, my big, beautiful bull mastiff, Bella. She is a sweetheart. I love her. We're animal people. We love pets. I got a big black cat called Boo Bear. He's awesome outside. I'd put them inside, but my wife is deathly allergic and her eyes swell shut and she can't breathe and that doesn't sound good. And I've got, I got a really sweet female kitty who adopted me a few months ago. She just showed up. And I was like, oh, I can feed you. And you know, if you feed them, they'll stay. And she's awesome, Sheba. I am, as far as the church goes, I am so thankful for wonderful, fantastic ministry leaders that make ministry not only a calling in my life, but an absolute joy. Thank you all for that. And what a privilege it is. I'm thankful for the privilege of pastoring and being part of such a unique and wonderful Christian family as Mosaic Church. I love this church. It's the best one I've ever pastored or been in my life. Gracious people, compassionate Christians. My list could go on and on. This is just my example. If you sat down with yourself or your spouse or kids or whatever, what would your list look like this week? I encourage you to do that long hand. It makes you more grateful, I think. It fosters an attitude of gratitude. Back in our Bible, Psalm 100, verse 3. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us. We are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. If you're a Christian, you're under authority, right? You do not own yourself. Well, my rights. No, it's what's Jesus Christ calling you to do and be. Jesus has been a good shepherd to His sheep. He's provided us all with food, clothing, and shelter. That's evident with everyone here. Everybody's clothed. That's great. Everybody looks like they've been fed and didn't sleep in outside last night. And people do. And we need to be compassionate on those in our community. He's offered the incomparable gift of new life in His name. Knowing all of that, how can our response be not like Psalm 104? Enter His gates with what? Thanksgiving, His courts with praise. How can we not give thanks to Him and praise His name? How can we not have an attitude of gratitude, right? Now, researchers have actually proven that grateful people suffer from far less stress. We've talked about this in previous series, sermons and teachings, right? They suffer from far less stress and depression than ungrateful people. Ungrateful people are just miserable to be around, aren't they? Just like, dude, you're killing my buzz already. Wow. I'm not encouraging drug addiction. Get high on Jesus and all this stuff. Right? They've even scientifically proven that smiling actually triggers positive emotions that releases serotonin, dopamine, and endorphins that make you help you feel better. We saw this in the life group recently. Mother Teresa talked about this. She said, if I don't have anything to give anyone, I'll just give them a smile. And it's infectious in a good way because it has to do with having an attitude of gratitude. African kids, they got nothing and they're a lot more joyful than we are. I've seen it on ground in Uganda. And guess what? That and more is what they're gonna do when they get your shoebox of love. I've seen that too, and it put me in tears. It was so awesome, right? Isn't much of the envy that we experience in our lives really and truly a matter of ingratitude? Well, they got that, and I don't have that. We talked about this in adult ed today. Jealousy is bad enough. Jealousy says, well, I want what he got. I want what she got. But envy is, far more worse. That's why it's a deadly sin. It says this, well, I want what you got. But if I can't get what you got, I'm going to do everything to take away what you got. That's envy. And that is ungrateful, and you will be miserable, and you will make other people miserable. But it can infect everybody, even pastors, especially pastors, I think, might be the worst. Kind of like the time when an old pastor died and he went to heaven. And there he met St. Peter, who greeted him and said, you have lived a life of gratitude that was filled with the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. So here are the keys to your hut. Delighted, the pastor went, saw his new hut, found everything that he could possibly need was there. He opened the window. Then he was bitten by the green monster of envy, jealousy, because he saw a huge mansion next door. And so the pastor asked Jesus' chief apostle, excuse me, St. Peter, sir, who gets to live in the mansion? The pastor was shocked to hear Peter say, oh, the mansion is for the lawyer. The lawyer, irked at that. He said, I don't want to appear ungrateful, St. Peter, sir, but why does the lawyer get to live in a mansion while I, who served Jesus Christ all my life, Pharisaism 101, is now living in a hut? Irked at the pastor's matter of ingratitude, Peter replied, well, we've got dozens and dozens of pastors around here. They're all over the place, but we only got one lawyer in the joint. He gets the good digs. Come on, that was funny. I don't hate lawyers. How can we not win? How can we not wake up every morning as a Christian and not say, thank you, Jesus, for everything you have given me? I'm so grateful to be alive today. Why live a life that's half empty, right? Is your glass half empty? I don't got that much. When you can live in the fullness of life and faith in Jesus Christ, knowing that your cup is full to the overflowing, you can be joyful even when you're not happy, amen. That's a Christian secret that the world can't understand, because in Jesus, everything, and I mean everything, is yes and amen. You see, gratitude helps us to experience more joy. Who couldn't use a little more joy in their life anyway, right? Do you get it, or do you gotta come to church? Man, I look forward to church. I really do. I get excited. Hopefully that's evident. And even if you're not excited about being here right now, and you can't hide it from me because I can see it in your eyes, you know, you're going to leave this place saying, you know what? I'm glad I didn't sleep in. I'm glad I was with God's people today. I am grateful. I am thankful to be here, right? Ingratitude is a narrow prison. It will imprison your heart. Why? Because the whole focus is on you. You do not want your life story to be about you, because it is a small, short, and boring story. You want it to be about the purposes of God. You want to love people in Jesus' name. So, question, as a Christian, is your current life a matter of ingratitude? If so, why? You've got so much to be grateful for. So remember, as the old hymn says, to count your blessings during Thanksgiving week. Verse 5 of Psalm 100 reminds us this: for the Lord is good, and his love endures how long? Forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. So here is my encouragement to you as your friend and your pastor this week. Cultivate an attitude of gratitude. Why? Because it pleases your heavenly Father, and it will bring more happiness and joy into your own life, and not just your life, but the lives of those whom you touch. And so I wish you and your loved ones a very happy and grateful Thanksgiving. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this week of Thanksgiving, but rather, not just this week, but our whole lives are to be a matter of gratitude, Lord. And we confess and we repent of our attitudes of ingratitude and selfishness. You have blessed us in more ways we could count. And so we just want to confess that and give you thanks and praise this morning. And we pray all this in Jesus' name, saying, amen.